This is In the News for January 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Associated Press, taken from commondreams.org, written by Jessica Bujol. My hero Hugh Thompson Jr. dies at 62. Hugh Thompson Jr., a former Army helicopter pilot honored for rescuing Vietnamese civilians from his fellow GIs during the My Lai massacre, died early Friday. As we said, he was 62. Thompson, whose role in the 1968 massacre did not become widely known until decades later, died at the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Alexandria, hospital spokesman Jay DeWorth said. Trent Angers, Thompson's biographer and family friend, said Thompson died of cancer. Thompson recalled in a 1998 Associated Press interview, quote, "These people were looking at me for help, and there was no way I could turn my back on them," end quote. Early in the morning of March 16, 1968, Thompson, door gunner Lawrence Colburn, and crew chief Glenn Andriotta came upon U.S. ground troops killing Vietnamese civilians in and around the village of My Lai. They landed the helicopter in the line of fire between American troops and fleeing Vietnamese civilians and pointed their own guns at the U.S. soldiers to prevent more killings. Colburn and Andriotta had provided cover for Thompson as he went forward to confront the leader of the U.S. forces. Thompson later coaxed civilians out of a bunker so they could be evacuated, and then landed his helicopter again to pick up a wounded child they transported to a hospital. Their efforts led to the ceasefire order at My Lai. In 1998, 30 years later, the Army honored the three men with the prestigious Soldier's Medal, the highest award for bravery not involving conflict with an enemy. It was a posthumous award for Andriotta, who had been killed in battle 3 weeks after My Lai. According to Army Major General Michael Ackerman, who said at the 1998 ceremony, quote, "It was the ability to do the right thing, even at the risk of their personal safety, that guided these soldiers to do what they did. The three set the standard for all soldiers to follow," end quote. Lieutenant William L. Calley, a platoon leader, was convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment for his role in the killings, but served just 3 years under house arrest when then-President Nixon reduced his sentence. Author Seymour Hersh won the 1970 Pulitzer Prize for his expose of the massacre in 1969 while working as a freelance journalist. The massacre became one of the pivotal events as opposition to the war was growing in the United States. Hersh called Thompson, quote, "one of the good guys. You can't imagine what courage it took to do what he did." Although Thompson's story was a significant part of Hersh's reports, and Thompson testified before Congress, his role in ending My Lai wasn't widely known until the late 1980s, when David Egan, a professor emeritus at Clemson University, saw an interview in a documentary and launched a letter-writing campaign that eventually led to the awarding of the medals in 1998. Tulane history professor Douglas Brinkley said, quote, "He was the guy who, by his heroic actions, gave a morality and dignity to the American military effort," end quote. For years, Thompson suffered snubs and worse from those who considered him unpatriotic. He recalled a congressman angrily saying that Thompson himself was the only serviceman who should be punished because of My Lai. "As the years passed, Thompson became an example for future generations of soldiers," said Colonel Tom Kolditz, head of the U.S. Military Academy's Behavioral Sciences and Leadership Department. Thompson went to West Point once a year to give a lecture on his experience, Kolditz said. According to Kolditz, quote, "There are so many people today working around alive because of him, not only in Vietnam, but people who kept their units under control under other circumstances because they had heard his story. We may never know just how many lives he saved," end quote. Again, My Lai hero Hugh Thompson Jr. died yesterday, Friday, at the age of 62. This is a story that certainly has reverberations today. Next story, also from the Associated Press, written by Joe McDonald. Microsoft shuts down Chinese blog. This is out of Beijing. Microsoft Corporation has shut down the internal journal, the internet journal, of a Chinese blogger that discussed politically sensitive issues, including a recent strike at a Beijing newspaper. The action came amid criticism by free speech activists of foreign technology companies that helped the communist government enforce censorship or silence dissent in order to be allowed into China's market. Microsoft's China-based web blog hosting service shut down the blog at the Chinese government's request, said Brooke Richardson, a group product manager with Microsoft's MSN online division at the company headquarters in Redmond, Washington. Though Beijing has supported internet use for education and business, it fiercely polices content, filters block objectionable foreign websites, and regulations ban subversive and pornographic content, and require service providers to enforce censorship rules. Richardson said, quote, when we operate in markets around the world, we have to ensure that our service complies with global laws as well as local laws and norms, end quote. Richardson said the blog was shut down on December 30th or 31st, but wouldn't give any other details about the reason. But the blog, written under the pen name Auntie by Zhao Xing, who works for the Beijing Bureau of the New York Times as a research assistant, touched on sensitive topics such as China's relations with Taiwan. Last week, he used the blog to crusade on behalf of a Beijing newspaper. Reporters at the Beijing News, a daily known for its aggressive reporting, staged an informal one-day strike after their chief editor was removed from his post. The editor's removal and the strikes attracted comments on Chinese online bulletin boards, which censors then erased. Online bulletin boards and weblogs have given millions of Chinese an opportunity to express opinions in a public setting in a system where all media are government-controlled. But service providers are required to monitor weblogs and the bulletin boards, erase banned content, and report offenders. Foreign companies have adopted Chinese standards, saying they must obey local laws. Microsoft's weblog service bars use of terms such as democracy and human rights. On the Chinese-based portal of search engine Google, a search for material that on the Dalai Lama, Taiwan, and other sensitive topics returns a message saying, quote, unquote, site cannot be found. Last year, web portal Yahoo was the target of criticism when it was disclosed that the company provided information that was used to convict a Chinese reporter on charges of revealing state secrets. Reporter Shi Tao was sentenced to 10 years in prison based on an email that he had sent abroad with details of a memo read out at his newspaper about media controls. There's more on this at commondreams.org. Again, that was from the Associated Press, written by Joe McDonald. And finally today, from the Arizona Daily Star, written by Howard Fisher, the State Secretary defends purchase of voting machines. This is out of Phoenix. Secretary of State Jan Brewer on Thursday defended the decision to purchase touchscreen voting equipment from the Diebold Corporation. Her comments came during and after what was supposed to be a routine announcement by the Glendale Republican who wants another 4 years in office. But a small group of protesters, apparently mobilized by comments made Thursday morning about Diebold by a Phoenix radio talk show host, showed up with handmade signs decrying the purchase. A Brewer campaign worker had to call Capitol Police to have the protesters move back so Brewer could give her speech, a speech which boasted of the state getting rid of the last punch card ballots as part of her accomplishments since being elected in 2002, but one that never mentioned the Diebold contract. But Brewer, responding to media questions, called the noisy protesters quote-unquote anarchists and said they were off base. She continued, I don't think there is a problem with the Diebold equipment. Brewer said that the committee investigated the bids and the machines passed on the guidelines. She also said, quote, I think that there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there that are trying to blow this completely, totally out of proportion. Most Arizona counties already have bought and used Diebold machines for optical scanning of ballots. Last year, Leon County, Florida, got rid of its Diebold scanners after it was shown that they can be hacked to alter elections results without leaving a trace. Since that time, some other communities have refused to purchase machines from that company. Again, that's the Arizona Daily Star, written by Howard Fisher. This has been In the News for January 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.